soul-singer Candy Staton started singing with the Jewel Gospel Trio when she was barely in her teens in the 1950s. She later went on to have a string of hits recorded at the Fame Studios in Muscle Shoals, Alabama in the 60s and 70s. Those recordings were gathered together into a long overdue compilation in 2004. She's not had an easy life. Alcohol and abusive relationships have taken their toll. She took refuge in a return to gospel music, which she sang for years. She is back with a new secular album called His Hands. And I started off by referring to this quote from Candy, who said, "The more I personally experience, the better I can perform. It's because I can put more emotion, more truth into my singing. An audience, if it's with you at all, can't help but react to that emotion."
You can't sing about something you've never experienced, not with feeling. You might do it, you know, like an assignment, but you cannot do it. And you can feel it. Soul music is about feeling. Every knock, everything I sing about in these songs, I've lived it. So when you get to those lines, I mean, there is something, the blood rushes to your head, you know, and tears well up in your eyes because you remember things that you've gone through in your life. And that's what brings it home.
Wow. And the other thing that I understand you wanted to begin with, actually, it's a Merle Haggard song. You don't have very far to go.
Yeah, you don't have far to go.
Is that there is this place where country and soul music, R&B, come together.
Mm-hmm.
And that wasn't so unusual in the time when you were recording for Fame. In fact, you cut some country songs yourself. And it seems unusual nowadays, but they come from the same place, I guess.
You know, I was raised up with Grand Ole Opry. My mom used to listen to the Grand Ole Opry, and the reason she was a devout Christian, so she listened to it because it told stories, and she didn't figure that was wrong, but she wouldn't let me listen to B.B. King. I don't know what the thing was, but because after each performance, they always sung a sacred song, so she would wait for that sacred song, and so I grew up. We couldn't wait for Saturday night to listen, you know, to Hank Williams and Tennessee Ernie Ford. And I mean, all these guys were singing, and we'd lay there just on the floor, you know, just in awe of this music. And this is why, I guess it's somewhere down inside of me that I just love country music. Always have.
I'm getting chills because you heard these people sing live.
Yeah.
That's just pretty amazing. Candy Staton is our guest. Why don't you do that Merle Haggard tune? It's the one that begins the new disc.
Okay.
His Hands.
All right. I will.
You always find a way to hurt my pride. Honey, if I'm not crying, you're not satisfied. You don't know why you wanna hurt me so. Ooh. If you're trying to break my heart, you don't have very far to go. Well, you don't have far to go before the heartaches begin. I already feel the sadness of a heartbreak setting in. You're turning down the flame of love much too low. Mm-hmm. If you're trying to break my heart, you don't have very far to go. Well, you don't have far to go before the heartaches begin. You see, I already feel the sadness of a heartbreak old boy is setting in. You can't pretend you still love me when you hurt me so. Oh no, if you're trying to break my heart, you don't have very far to go.
Folks, that voice belongs to Candy Staton, who is singing for us here today. Who's playing guitar, Candy?
The guitar player's name is Mark Bowers.
You know, I'm listening to this voice, and it's talking about shivers. When did you first realize the power of your voice?
I started singing at 5.
Wow.
5 years old. We were in Alabama at the time. I was my mother's friend really discovered me. I was outside behind the chimney playing with some dirt cakes and all that stuff, and I was singing because every fifth Sunday in our community they had a singing convention, and people from all over Alabama would come to the singing convention, and I would go to church and listen to all these people sing, and I would learn the songs.
Mm-hmm.
And in my little playtime, I would start singing them. And she went around the house and she heard this singing, and she, you know, she didn't let me see her, of course. And I was just belting it out. I was just singing. And she ran back to my mother and she said, "Miss Rosie, your daughter can sing." And Mama said, "Oh, no, she can't. What are you talking about?" So they both sneaked around and they listened to me. So she went even further. She went to the pastor on the Sunday. She said, "I got a surprise for you." She said, "Call that little girl up and let her sing." And I'm shaking because, you know, I've never sung before an audience before. And then they push me and they start clapping and they get me up there and they sit a little chair so I could be seen behind the pulpit. And I started singing. And the place went crazy. I mean, folks started throwing pocketbooks and it was awesome. And I was so scared I jumped down and ran and jumped to my mama's lap. but that's the way it all started.
Do you remember what the song was?
"The Lord Will Make a Way Somehow."
Wow.
Yeah.
Wow, that's fantastic.
Yeah.
And you were part of the Jewel Gospel Trio. And,
right.
And what was that situation? That was that was an institution, right? The Jewel?
It was a school. It was parochial school.
Oh, okay.
It was a school that we, you know, it's like the Fisk University Singers. Have you ever heard of those?
Gotcha, absolutely.
So it was kids that were unfortunate. You know, yeah. They couldn't pay tuition and stuff. So what we did was my sister and Naomi, who was the granddaughter of Bishop Jewel, who owned the place. She was a part of the group. And we would go out on the road and we would make money for the school. So kids that, you know, couldn't afford to come to the school could come tuition free. And we did that up until I was 17 years old. So we went everywhere. That's where I met Sam Cooke and Lou Rawls and Aretha Franklin. And we were all just, you know, like school chums. We would sit down in restaurants and stuff together. Nobody was really that famous. We were all in gospel groups.
Pilgrim Travelers.
Pilgrim Travelers.
Soulsters.
Right, the Staple Singers.
Wow. Unbelievable.
Yeah.
And what would those, where would you sing? Would you sing in churches or would you sing
We would sing in auditoriums. Mm-hmm. And we would sing sometimes in churches. And we were just all over the place, you mm-hmm. know. But basically it was school auditoriums.
Now, it's interesting. How did you make that transition from that to singing R&B? And was that an issue for you at the time?
Very much so.
Mm-hmm.
Because that was just a no-no in the church. You mm-hmm. just don't do both. You know, that was embedded in us even when we were little kids, that you either Christian or you're not. You know, so they said that you weren't a Christian if you sung songs about life.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and I don't agree with that. It was in me for many, many years. And I started reading the Bible, and it never separated the secular from the sacred. And I just didn't understand what the religiosity behind all that was, because what we're singing about, David, is life. Things that we go through every day, and you go through them if you're a Christian or not. You're going to go through something. And this is the reason that, you know, they put the separation there, but it really shouldn't be.
Mm.
because you only go to church and this is a daily thing that you live, whether you're in church or not. There are principles that you adhere to, even though, you know, you're not in church. So it's a lifestyle. And it was rough for a while. You know, they put me out, they kicked me out the church. So
did you have success right away, or was that
the first record went 700,000?
Which one?
I'd rather be an old man's sweetheart than to be a young man's fool.
Oh, it's such a great song. I didn't
yes,
realize that
is.
Was the first one. Let's play a little bit of that from these new reissues. Okay.
Okay.
That,
sure.
How did the song come to you?
Well, George, one of the writers from Memphis, Rick Hall, had them all up there, and I don't know why he did it. I guess he figured that he had an artist, but they were all George Jackson from Memphis. He was the writer, and they were there, Earl Cage. And when I sat down to audition, he liked me so much that he called all the guys, the Muscle Shoals sound guys, Barry, you know, and Jimmy Johnson and all of those, came over to the studio, and we laid that track that night.
Well, let's do it. I'd rather be an old man's sweetheart than a young man's fool. Our guest today, Candy Staton.
You may think I'm silly to love a man twice my age, but I know from experience, girls, sometime it pays. The man I've got, the fire's almost gone. He can't heat up nobody's house. He got just enough to keep me warm.
Wow, 700,000 copies on your first single. Candy, did that go to your head?
No, I was so happy. I mean, you know, I'm like, you know, taking a little girl out of Alabama, and right. All of a sudden, overnight success, you know, and the limos and all the stuff. I was just amazed that you know, how you could go from one economical situation to another one just overnight, and that's what happens when you have a hit record.
I would think that would be hard to take. And I've heard you say that you, and maybe you were just speaking about your love involvements, but you were very country.
Yeah. I still am.
Well, I won't pass judgment on that. I don't think so. But anyway, you've been in situations that that we kind of read about, and I'd just like to pick your brain a little bit about things like. Like what it was like in one of those sessions with the Muscle Shoals players. Now, you recorded it at Fame in Memphis and also down in Alabama?
Yeah. Not Memphis, just Alabama.
Oh, okay.
We always recorded in Muscle Shoals, one of the studio there, Rick Hall Studio.
Oh, right.
And the players would come up, Bowlegs Miller, you know, he was always a horn session. They would all come up, and it would be like this room, and everybody was mic'd, and we all worked it up in the middle of the room. I would be standing like where I'm standing now, you know, right somewhere with the microphone, and I could get eye contact with everybody, and everybody kind of vibed off of everybody else.
You'd sing live in the room?
Yeah, you'd sing live. You'd sing live until they got it. Wow. You know, everybody would just kind of play along.
Mm-hmm.
And when they see me do something or hear my voice crack or whatever, you know, they would just kind of, the guitar would just automatic. The vibes were just, it was just so great. And, mm-hmm. you know, people don't hardly, they don't make records like that anymore. Mm-hmm. So this is how we made His Hands.
Though. It was. You got, yeah. Oh, that's fantastic.
Yeah.
Well, now, when you were cutting there, we mentioned earlier, you actually cut some versions of country songs that were hits at the time, like In the Ghetto and Stand By Your Man. Was that unusual? How did that suggestion come apart? They just wanted to get a cover on the R&B charts, or did you love those songs? Or?
No. Now, let me just tell you, Mac Davis was in the studio. He was there when we did In the Ghetto. It wasn't for me. It was for my ex-husband, Clarence Carter. Clarence was doing a session. I just happened to be there. I was reading a magazine, sitting up in the control room with Rick and Mac. And he was out there on the floor, and the musicians were playing the song. And Mac said, "Rick, what would it be like for a woman to sing this? A woman has never sung this song. I think it would be powerful." Rick said, "Well, you know, why don't we let Candy do it?" So he gets up from the board, and he goes down to the floor, and he says something to Clarence, and Clarence says, "Sure, why not? I think it would be great." See, they were looking for a cover for Patches.
Oh.
And that would have been a wonderful cover for Clarence to do after Patches.
Right.
So he said, "Okay, let me do it." And I did it. They changed the key right there. And I went down and I did the song, and they put it up in, you know, the 24 track, and they filed it away, and they kept right on with Clarence's session. And the next time I went in for a session, that's how it got on one of my records. Now, Stand By Your Man was different.
Mm-hmm.
Rick called me up for that one. He says, "You need to come to Muscle Shoals. I think I got a hit record for you." He said, "Candy, we could ever get the country out." I said, "Okay, good luck. Get the country out." He said, "Stand By Your Man. I want to cover Stand By Your Man." So I came up for a special session, and we did that one.
Let's play that. This is Stand By Your Man from my guest, Candy Staton. Stand By Your Man, the cover cut in Muscle Shoals by our guest, Candy Staton, who is with us today. Now, Clarence, your husband, Clarence Carter, was responsible for getting you to fame?
Yes, he was. I have to give him that credit. Yeah, he Etta James had just left, and Rick was looking for another female artist. Mm. And so I met him at the 2728 Club in Birmingham. I was singing local. And he told me if I ever got rid of my husband at the time, my abusive husband, that he would put me in his review. You know, he put me on the road. And so about 3 months, that gave me hope. I was in a going nowhere situation with somebody that I didn't want to be with in the first place, but I was stuck. And so that gave me a little hope. And in 3 months, I was free. I was getting ready to go into Vanderbilt to become a nurse. I wanted to be a nurse. And he came through with Eddie Floyd and B.B. King and Albert King. And it was a nice show. And I got backstage and I told him, "I'm free." And he, after the show was over, we went out to eat. And he told me, he said, could you get to Muscle Shoals tomorrow? I said, "Yeah, I think we can do that." So my brother-in-law and sister drove me down, and the rest is history.
Wow, that's amazing. Candy, tell me about another song, Young Hearts Run Free.
Oh, that was like, oh my God. You know, that song has carried over 27, 28 years. It's been a big song in my life. I mean, that's my signature almost song. Yeah. When they say Candy State and they say Young Hearts Run Free.
And who wrote it? How did it come about?
It came about, David Crawford was my producer at the time. I just left Muscle Shoals, and disco was coming in, and the old rhythm and blues soul kind of Muscle Shoals sound type thing was going out. And Warner Brothers had me, I was signed to Warner Brothers. I was signed to Rick Hall, but that had a stipulation in the contract that if that record, that last record I did with Rick didn't work out, that I would be totally free to go with Warner Brothers. So it didn't, and I went with Warner Brothers. And the first thing they did was find a new producer, and it was David Crawford. And David and I had known each other for quite some time. And I used to tell him about all the things that I was going through with my husband that I was living with, and the abuse and all the, you know, mental and physical. And he was saying to me, he said, I'm going to write a song about that.
Mm-hmm.
He said, I'm going to write a song about that. And he said, Candy, I'm going to write a song, and it's going to last forever. And he did. And wow. It has lasted for such a long, long time.
Young Hearts Run Free.
What's the sense in sharing this one and only life? Ending up just another lost and lonely wife. You count up the years, and they will be filled with tears. Love only breaks up to start over again. You'll get the babies, but you won't have your man. While he's busy loving every woman that he can. Say I'm gonna leave 100 times a day. It's easier said than done when you just can't break away. Oh, young hearts, run free. You'll never be hung up like my man and me. My man and me. Oh, young hearts, to yourself be true. Don't be no fool when love really don't love you.
Candy Staten is with us here today. She's got a new album called His Hands. And I want to, we've got to hear some more from this. What do you want to do next?
I think I want to do His Hands. This is a song that Will Odom wrote for me. I had a television program on Trinity Broadcasting for 22 plus years. And I would always get on and talk about the abusive relationships that I had been involved in, personal relationships. And I don't mind talking about them because I'm not trying to air my dirty laundry or anything like that. But I know there are women everywhere that's going through some of the same things that I went through. And so he penned that song for me because he'd heard my testimony.
Wow.
And he heard, you know, some of the songs that I'd done, and I'd talked about my personal relationships. And so he wrote His Hands. It's from the hands of an abusive man to the hands of God. There were a lot of things in his touch. Sometimes the slightest whisper, oh, it could hurt so much. I could feel him coming near me, his little noises and such. Then my man would lay his hands on me. Oh, yes, he would. Oh, he might touch me in a way
that a man should. Bring me to passion, ooh, as only he could. Answer some earthly need, oh, whenever, whenever he would. Then my man would lay his hands on me. Oh, the kindness and protection and the cares when he was happy. Oh, goodness me. And then when he was scared, oh Lord, when he was scared, those hands took on a life undead. They were vicious and they were small, but they were big enough to keep this woman's back against the wall. Ooh, oh, against the wall. I didn't ask for this, or the love, or anything else. Or the years I spent in this world of a man that only loved himself. No, I didn't ask for this. Oh, it's mine now. Those hands are in my mind, in my soul. But Lord, it's you and me that gives them power. Ooh. Lord, I will pity that beautiful man. And Lord, I will bless his path. We were both just wounded children. Ooh, in a love. Thank God it didn't last. There are a lot of things, Lord, in your touch. Sometimes your slightest whisper moves me so much. Your grace and your forgiveness for the whole world and such. When my Lord lays his hands on me. Yes, it does. When my God, oh, he rests his gentle loving hands on me.
Spectacular performance of a great song. It's like a little play, Candy.
Yeah, it does.
Boy.
Yeah, it takes you right through.
Boy, that's just great. Now, I'm curious as to what your transition back to singing gospel music after you'd had all these hits was like. Did you understand what you were singing about a little better the second time around?
Yes, I did. I had the experience.
Yeah.
First time, it was just, you know, and I did it by rote. You know, just doing something because Mama said it was good to do. But the second time came the experience. I really experienced God for myself. And the words had meaning, and I began to write about things, about the experiences that I had with the Lord. And it was wonderful. I was enjoying my life, you know. It got me from alcohol and all the drugs and the nightlife and the smoky bars and all that stuff. I felt clean for the first time in many, many years. And I enjoyed that moment, you know. That was another chapter in my life, and I enjoyed it. And a lot of people ask me, well, why, if you enjoyed it so much and you were over there, why are you coming back over here? Because I want to bring the experience. I'm not through writing my book, and I'm still writing. And I think that my experience there, I will carry over. You see, the lifestyle is still here. I still don't do a lot of the things that I used to do. And I'm probably going to be able to help somebody.
Are you able to do both simultaneously, you think?
I will.
Yeah.
You know, I don't know how they will accept it.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, there will be some people that will probably want to throw stones at me. But then there are some people out there that will embrace me. So you have to take it, you know. It doesn't really matter to me, because as long as my heart is right and I feel like I'm doing what's good for me, then that's all that matters.
Well, thank you so much for spending some time with us. It's a real, real treat.
It's great being here, David. Thanks for having me.
Candy Staton, my guest here on The World Cafe. Big thanks to Candy Staton for joining us today on The Cafe. Just great to talk to her. If you're looking for the new album, it's called His Hands, and also that compilation on Honest John's Records of her work for fame back in the 1970s. You'll find information on those on our website at worldcafe.npr.org.